This is Fronteras, a changing America. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks for joining us. New Mexico is at the forefront of a big change in America, the growth of the commercial spaceflight industry. Virgin Galactic plans to begin flights late next year at Spaceport America. Today we'll talk about the spaceport and this year's International Symposium for Personal and Commercial Space Flight. My guest is Dr. Pat Hines of the New Mexico Space Grant Consortium. Dr. Hines, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Fred. It's my pleasure.
It's great to have you here. You know, recently I interviewed New Mexico Secretary of Economic Development, John Barella. That interview will be featured on a future edition of this program. Secretary Barella said that the legislature must pass the so-called informed consent law when it meets in January. This protects space industry companies from liability. Now, Secretary Barella says if the legislature fails to pass this law, it will be very damaging for Spaceport America. I want to start with that because certainly this is going to be in the news for several months. The legislature has had the opportunity to pass this law and failed to do so, and it will become an issue again in January. Explain for us your thoughts on this issue and the information behind it that people need to understand.
Okay. I feel that when we have a piece of legislation that is called informed consent, it makes mostly no sense to anybody. So I did some research on my own just so I could get a sense for myself. What does it matter to me? And, you know, every time you go into the hospital to get an operation, every time you go into the dentist's office as a new client, any time you go into your general practitioner as a new client, you sign informed consent. The informed consent process as part of our daily lives, when you fly on a plane, you have an inherent understanding that, and the airlines has that with the state it operates out of, as well as the federal government who indemnifies the airline industry. The informed consent is the passenger realizes that they are flying under federal government rules that protect the supply chain that services the vehicles, and it protects the passenger. When you go to the doctor or the dentist, there are rules that indicate that the doctor or the dentist has had proper training and education, their equipment is functioning properly, and the same process is in place now for human spaceflight participants. So this particular informed consent legislation applies only to operators who are involved in human spaceflight. So the vertical launch work that I do with the students here at NMSU and across the state, that informed consent is not necessary. The informed consent is for the human spaceflight participants that will say, I will also hold harmless the people who service this vehicle. Now, if we look at it in terms of what that means to New Mexico, that means that the people who would be servicing the vehicles, the oxygen systems in the both the spacecraft and the aircraft that lifts the spacecraft, those oxygen systems are typical for most spaceflight vehicles and aircraft. And we have tremendous capability here in New Mexico, world-class singular capability at NASA White Sands Test Facility in oxygen systems. And you know that when you go to the hospital and if you have to have oxygen in the hospital room, you want to make sure, but you sign informed consent saying, I will not sue the hospital if my oxygen system blows up, even if I light a cigarette while I have my oxygen on. Well, huh. So informed consent is part of our life. Informed consent is necessary if a company like Jacobs Technology, who has this amazing capability, they test every single thing that's ever gone into a space shuttle vehicle. They test the systems. The oxygen systems have been tested by world-class, world leadership in New Mexico at White Sands test facility, they will not engage at all. They will not use their expertise, and all of the people who are absolutely the best in the world do want to work with us here in New Mexico, and our state legislature has just not been well educated because it's never come up before, and we can understand that.
And, you know, to put this into perspective, as I understand it, the other states which have informed consent laws are drawing interest from some of these companies, including our neighbor in Texas.
Yes, there are 9 licensed spaceports in the United States, period, 9. Of those 9, they are looking at spaceflight as becoming eventually as safe as any other transportation industry. So in the community partnership luncheon that I have on October 16th at the Farm and Ranch, everybody is invited to come and join us for lunch and register or walk in at the door. And what you will see is one of the full-scale models, 27-foot full-scale model of the X-Core Lynx. We lost that company to Texas Midland. So Midland Economic Development Corporation will also be at our symposium because they're coming to cherry pick all the people who do want to work in New Mexico. Now, there's a lot of reasons why we lost X-Core. As Secretary Barella was on the phone, I got him on the phone with the president of that company to talk about what happened. When we spent $210 million to build Spaceport America, that was it. That was, our pockets are empty. We cannot recruit other spaceflight companies to this state. We're out of money. What we have to do is protect what we have, and we have the premier space flight company, space line operator in Virgin Galactic. It is economic suicide for us to not look at the competitive strategy of the states that want what we have. They are passing this legislation. They don't have to worry about it because nobody is flying human spaceflight vehicles out of their states right now. It is a competitive strategy. That is what the states are doing. And so there are 3 states that have passed this legislation. Now, Texas does have a human spaceflight operator in Blue Origin. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon.com, has established his own spaceport and is building his own space vehicle. His people will be at the symposium. That is starting on October 17th. Jeff Bezos has been very fortunate in that he lives in Seattle, but he's built his spaceport in Texas. Gee, let me think why. What do you think? Because he is going to have human space flight protection for his supply chain. Mm. And so he's blasting away, just building, and so has Florida passed this legislation. Gee, let me see what other human space flight happens in Florida. And Virginia, Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport. They are going to eventually be doing human space flight there as well. This is a human space flight issue, and I understand why New Mexicans and the state legislature don't have a lot of information on this. This is the first company in the world that will ever fly 500 people a year to space. Now, there's only been 517 people that have gone to space since we've been going to space in 1960. So we can understand that there's time to, but this is the time now for the legislature to kick it up.
Okay. And the community partnership luncheon that you mentioned is open to the public. It's 11:30 to 1:30 on October 16th. You can register at ispcs.com. And we'll mention that website again at the end of the program, ispcs.com. Your keynote speaker for the luncheon is Wayne Hale, former Space Shuttle Program Manager. Looks like he's going to have an interesting presentation.
Yes, he will. And Wayne Hale, everybody saw the Endeavor as it flew over. That was that was Wayne's program. He managed that program. All the astronaut offices reported to Wayne. All of the people who built the shuttle, who maintained the shuttle, who transported the shuttle, the aircraft that it flew on, all of that program was managed by Wayne Hale. The culture at NASA, as you know, I'm the Space Grant Director, and that's a NASA program here in the state of New Mexico. Safety is job one. And the reason I'm bringing Wayne Hale here is for people to hear it from the source. What kind of safety procedures are necessary and have to be in place as we grow Spaceport America and Virgin? Virgin is absolutely committed. I mean, I had one of the vice presidents of El Paso Electric in a talk I did, and I asked this guy, would you ever allow a transmission line for El Paso Electric to operate if you knew it was unsafe? And he said, and it's a terrible business decision. Richard Branson runs an airline. They have a tremendous safety record. Safety is job one. You cannot make money if you do not run a safe airline or safe space line.
Okay, very good information. We're going to talk about the symposium coming up. But first, one other bit about Spaceport America. On October 23rd, and it's an event supported by proceeds from the symposium, 8 schools and more than 100 students are participating in the latest student launch at Spaceport America. Tell me about this program.
Well, the proceeds from ISPCS are used to support the student launch program. And I am very fortunate, again, to be involved with NASA. And NASA Flight Opportunities is paying for this rocket this year, thank God. And we had a little bit of a change in our licensing procedures with the FAA. We also, I'm the administrative lead for the FAA Center of Excellence for Commercial Space Transportation. And we are now licensing for the first time these student launch these vehicles differently. The FAA has actually stepped us up. We're growing up out there. So we have to have a more, we have to have a launch vehicle license. We were running under an experimental license, and now we're stepping up our game here. So the FAA is asking us to do a few more things on that license, so our launch date has changed. But what we have is the 7th student launch going on out there, and this date will be pushed to November. What we're doing out there is I'm preparing this group of experiments to eventually go to the International Space Station. So climb a hill, climb a mountain. Our students will eventually have experiments on the International Space Station, and I'm also working preliminarily now to take the proceeds from ISPCS, since I don't have to buy the rocket, is to start building labs in collaboration with the Las Cruces Public School District and New Mexico State University College of Engineering and PSL to build satellites. So that's another whole discussion. But, you know, I work at a university, and the symposium we do is created to examine the issues that are of importance to us in this region. And while I believe it is extraordinary for us to have Virgin Galactic, for an academic institution, we have tremendous opportunity to interface with that company who's been reaching out, both hands, both feet, elbows and ears, to New Mexico State University to participate with us in engaging the academic side of the work we do with them. It's been wonderful.
Okay. Well, as I promised, we'll talk now about the symposium, which is going to be held October 17th and the 18th. And you have some big guests lined up. Let's talk about that.
One of the guests that we have lined up is the president of Boeing Space Systems and Networks. And the president of Boeing has been to New Mexico and El Paso a lot, but he has never been engaged in the part of the business that is public, and that is the commercial, CST, the Commercial Space Transportation Capsule. Boeing is building a capsule to send astronauts to the International Space Station for the government. And they're going to be launching that on the Atlas V, which is originally was developed by the government as an intercontinental ballistic missile. It is being reconfigured to carry humans, and it is the CST capsule is going to sit on top of the Atlas V, and that is the same vehicle that took the Mars Science Lab to Mars. The Atlas V did that too. So United Launch Alliance is a partnership between Boeing and Lockheed Martin, and the Boeing company and Roger Krone, who is one of our speakers, is very committed to commercial space, and they test their Pratt & Whitney engines, the orbital maneuvering engines, here. They just did another test of the 24 engines about a month ago here. So what does this mean to us? There's a lot of very, very capable companies working on this industry here.
Okay. Very exciting. And we should mention again that for folks who are interested in attending the symposium, you can go online to register and, of course, learn lots more about the symposium. The website address is ispcs.com. If you are familiar with my guest, Dr. Pat Hines, the director of the New Mexico Space Grant Consortium, it may be because you've seen her name in the Las Cruces Sun News or online at the Sun News website. She writes a weekly column in addition to all of her work here at New Mexico State University. Dr. Hines, tell me about that project that you do and the reactions that you're getting to your work in print.
The work of writing 750 words every 2 weeks that makes sense and have some continuity to them is not a trivial pursuit. And I was asked to do this for the space industry, to address the space industry, not to just talk about New Mexico State or what it is that I do, but give people a perspective of the greater and the disciplines that are involved in being in the space industry. So I have a lot of latitude, and I have to say, it's a lot of work, and I've had help. Mark Medoff told me, because he was a writing teacher that I had when I was in college, and he said, Pat, it's a three-act play. So think about it like that. It was very helpful to me. I'm not a professional writer, but I do a lot of writing in my work.
Mm-hmm. And you connect very often issues applicable to so many different businesses and organizations to the space industry, which I think makes it interesting.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred. I'm writing to the people listening to this show. I'm writing to our community, even though I get comments from people all over the globe. I do. I get comments from people that say, well, why didn't you talk about this? I mean, that's more important than, you know. When I talked about the mass fraction equation a couple of articles ago, the rocket equation, the intent of helping people understand that equation is to help people understand just it. There are things that you always are thinking about that nobody cares about. You know, like, who cares how the plane operates? I just want to get my ticket, get on, get there, see you later. I don't want to hear about mechanical problems. I don't want to hear about what kind of fuel mixture. I don't care. Just get me on the plane and get me home. So the mass fraction equation is one of those fabulous tools that we got at the turn of the century that helped us get into the rocket program, that helped us go to space. So since people have been looking up at the skies, you know, 3.4 to 3.6 million years ago is when hominids first started walking upright. You got to believe a lot of cogent beings have been wondering, what's up there? Well, now we get there. Now we can look. Now we have observatories above the atmosphere. That one simple rocket equation is what gave us the tool to get there.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we just have a few minutes left, and want to ask you, what is next for the Space Grant Consortium?
We have this reconfigured student launch program that I'm looking at. Because we have a partnership with NASA for a bit, I can take some of the proceeds that we're using for the symposium and put this program in place where we can have one destination would be the International Space Station. And then the other destination is we are going to bundle the launch services and the satellite together, hopefully on Launcher One that Virgin Galactic is building another component of their business. We want to be one of the first universities on that, Launcher One, with our New Mexico SAT.
Okay, very exciting stuff. Dr. Pat Hines is the director of the New Mexico Space Grant Consortium. Again, the website is ispcs.com in order to register for the Community Partnership Luncheon on October 16th at 11:30, or the symposium October 17th and 18th. Dr. Hines, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, great.